All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. Let's begin. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf today ahead of us. Today's daf is Nun Tes 59. We are picking up on Nun Ches Amud Beis. Remember, again, we were discussing the idea, ultimately, of Hamal ben Pnei Chaveiro Berabin. So the idea, the incredible intensity and negativity, ultimately, of going ahead and embarrassing someone in public. So our shiur this morning is sponsored by Shmuel and Devorah Miller in honor of the engagement of their daughter Tehila to Nathanael Greenwald. Mazel tov, mazel tov. And in honor of the 80th birthday of Reb Shmuel's father, Mr. Henry Miller, Chaim Leib Yitzchak ben Moshe, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Chassin and Kalash of Izocha to build a Bayis Meman be Yisrael, B'sha Tova Umitzlachos, and the Zayda Shalem Yar Zashem B'Izocha to many years of Nachas from his beautiful Mishpacha.
Amen.
So let's begin. So we are picking up with Tani Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. So Nun Chesam at base 58b, 2, 4, 6, 8, 7 lines up from the bottom. So Tani Tana Kamed Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Kalamal B'Pnei Chaveiro B'Rabim Kilu Shopech Domin. Both an incredible Yisod. Whoever goes ahead and embarrasses his friend in public, it's as if he's shedding blood. Amrlei Shapir Kamrat, he said, you're saying good. Because you see that when you embarrass someone, the color drains from their face, and literally their face becomes white. So we'll say, just say something interesting, by the way. The Ben Yehoyada raises an interesting kasha. On this, I'm not going to keep you here till 10 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to worry. Unless you want to. If you're up for it, I'm up for it. But I'll tell you just a few little ha'aras as we go along. So the Ben Yehoyada asks a very interesting question on this. He says, you know, all of us are familiar with this expression. Whoever you go, if you embarrass someone in public, it's as if you spill their blood. So the Ben Yehoyada asks a simple question. Kasha, kevan damar lechaveiro lashon yachid, havelei lemeimar kilu shofech damo lashon yachid. So the mob says something. I was embarrassed when I saw this because I've seen this gemara multiple times. Why didn't this kasha ever dawn on me? So the Ben Yehuda says the way this should read is Hamal ben Pnei Chaveiro Birabim. Someone embarrasses his friend, singular. Keilu shofech damo. It's as if you spill his blood, singular. But instead, it doesn't say that. It says Keilu shofech damim, plural. So says the Ben Yehuda something amazing. Nearly b'siyata d'shmaya. Get ready for this. When you embarrass your friend, you kill him a number of times. Because when you humiliate someone, even after the act is done, every single time they remember that event, they're embarrassed. Every single time they remember that event, even though the embarrasser, the perpetrator, is not there, every single time they're present, ultimately he's reminded, Ki kol eish hazokam hazveshu boshu nechlam ha'ilov, v'chein kol pam sheroa osam b'nei adam, asher b'ayshu l'fein hu boshu nechlam. Similarly, every single time I see the people in front of whom I was embarrassed, I remember that event, and I replay it in my mind. Rabbi say it's an incredible yisod. V'nimtza kama damim shofel chaveira ba'oso biyush shebayishu b'dvarim. And therefore, Rabbi say it turns out, and this is such an incredible yisod, in general, when we hurt people, so again, when I go ahead and I apologize, I think, you know, case closed, situation over. But for the person who's been hurt, Rabbi say the trauma that causes an individual, and the way they play over that trauma in their mind over and over and over again, and have to relive it over and over and over again, it's not a one-time kilu shofech damo, it's kilu shofech damim. That ultimately that person experiences that pain multiple times, sometimes throughout their life. An incredible yisod. So the Gemara goes weiter. Dam Rabbi Chanina, kol yardin legehenim chutz mishlosha. Everybody, now we'll say the way this reads is, everyone goes to Gehenim except for four people. So the Gemara says, whoa. Everybody goes to Gehenim except for three people. Rather, says the Gemara, no. Ela'ima kol yardin legehenim, excuse me, kol yardin legehenim olim chutz mishlosha shiardin ve'in olim. We'll say, rather, what it means to say is, everybody who goes down, all of those who go to Gehenim come out, right, olim, except for three that go in but don't come out. Now, we'll say, just so you understand the word about Gehenim. A little word about Gehenim. So again, you know, we don't believe, you know, the concept of hell or purgatory, those are Christian concepts. We do not believe in that. Our concept of Gehenna, whatever it is a purging process. The idea is the neshama undergoes this process with the goal ultimately to rid the neshama of whatever impurities, of whatever spiritual uncleanliness, to be able ultimately again to ascend to be Ola L'Shaim, to be Ola to Gan Eden. So the idea over here is that even those who go to Gehenna go and come out, with the exception apparently of three. The Elohim, Abosai, here are the three. Habal Ish Esish, someone who commits an act of adultery, and one who embarrasses his friend in public, and someone who goes ahead and calls his friend, literally, means somebody who calls his friend by a nickname, by a negative nickname. So, but I understand the notion of going ahead and calling your friend by a nickname, right? Isn't that the same thing as embarrassing your friend? To which the Gemara says, well, thank you. To which the Gemara says, no, afagab d'dashay b'shmei. But say, the chap with the nickname is, you could have someone who's known by a negative nickname, and what? That person is used to it. And it could be that it doesn't even bother the person anymore. But what? But lamaisa, you still can't call the person. Well, so that is halacha lamaisa. Can't call people by nicknames, even if, again, lamaisa, the person says it's okay, or doesn't mind it, or they've been called this since the time that they're five. You can't call people nicknames that are potentially disparaging in any way. Well, say, so just so you understand, what's the common denominator amongst those three things? That ultimately, one who goes ahead and commits adultery, one who embarrasses someone, and someone who calls someone by a nickname. Well, say, so these are all things, especially with the Ben Yodah said, these are all things that leave their mark on people for the rest of their lives. So ultimately, an act of adultery is committed, even if a couple is able to repair their relationship, it's never the same. Once you embarrass that person, like we saw the Ben Yoyada, potentially that embarrassment, that shame, that humiliation remains there for the rest of their life. Calling someone a nickname, we'll say, you know, a name captures your essence. When you call someone by a nickname, what you're damaging is their very essence, their very identity. And even if a person says, ah, mochel, it's okay, no one's really mochel on their covet at the end of the day. All of us want our covet to remain intact. All of us want our dignity to remain intact. So these three things are things that mamish detract from a person's ability to live in a normal sense every single day. You take away from someone's ability to live in a normal sense every single day. Unfortunately, such a person like that goes to Gehenna and doesn't come out. I will say, by the way, but, what's the but? The but is, I'm going to tell you something. I should shut off the recording for a moment, right? Whenever you see a Gemara that says that you go to Gehenna and you don't come out, my advice to you is ignore it. What do I mean by that? Ein davar omid b'fnei atshuva. No matter what you have or you haven't done in life, there's always tshuva. And tshuva defies everything, including Gemaras. And tshuva defies everything, including Ma'amari Chazal. This is like the famous Yisod, where Acher wants to do tshuva, and Meir says, Acher, do tshuva, and Rabbi, what does Rabbi Meir say? You see, what does Acher say? Acher says, I can't, because Shamati mi'achori ha'pargud, I heard, literally, a baskel comes out and says, Shuvu banim shovevim chutz mi'acher. Right, the Moshom says, every single day, return everyone except Acher. So asks the Marsha, how could Acher be held responsible for not doing tshuva? If the Ribono Shel Olam Bichvodo Ba'atzmo every single day is saying, everybody come back, except you. Except Acher. God is saying, Acher, I reject you. So says the Marsha, how could Acher be held responsible for not doing tshuva? And what's the answer? And if I would say it, you would say it's Apikursus, but it's the Marsha. What does the Marsha say? The Marsha says, Acher, who cares what a Baskol says? Who cares what the voice says? You do what you have to do and everything else will fall into place. The Marsha says, Acher, ignore the Baskol. You know what that means? Ignore the Ribono Shel Olam. Don't worry about Chutz Mi'acher. You do what you have to do. So I'll say, these Gemaras also, okay, there are three people that go together and don't come out. My advice is, if Chas V'Shalom, a person falls into one of these categories, ignore it. Ignore it. Do tshuva. Do what you have to do. Turn yourself around. Turn life around. Be a better person. And you know what? Some way, somehow, the pieces will fall into place. So the Gemara goes, I don't know about Rechana Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, now we got to Nuntes. Good. So top of Nuntes with Aleph. Right? This is today's Naf. So Noach lo li Adam Shia. So it's exciting. Baruch Hashem. You know, it's good. Noach lo Shia. Not the Gehenna part's not exciting. I'm saying this is exciting. Noach lo la'adam sheba safek ish ish. Rabbi says, this is another amazing Gemara. It is better for a man to have relations with a woman who is a safek ish ish, who is safek, it's possible that she's married, va'al yabam p'nei chaveiro b'rabim, rather to embarrass his friend in public. Rabbi says, now I want to be clear. The Gemara clearly is not, because I see like a lot of like piqued curiosity over here. So remember again, both are bad. Both are bad. But the idea of the Gemara, you're going to see why the Gemara is, because this is such a strange expression, you're going to see why the Gemara is dafka using this example. The Gemara is trying to highlight the obvious severity of humiliating someone. So the Gemara says, in the hierarchy of sins, it is better to go ahead, meaning it's worse to embarrass someone than it is to have relations with a safek ishes ish. So what do we get? This is a heartbreaking Gemara. The Darish Rava, my dichsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk that says, Ubitsali, the Gemara over here is quoting from the pasuk from Tilim, David HaMelech. Ubitsali samchu v'ne'esafu. Ne'esfu alai nechem v'lo yadati karu v'lo damu. So both say, listen to this. So the pasuk over here literally means, when I limped, my enemies were happy. My enemies were happy. V'ne'esafu karu v'lo damu. And ultimately, my flesh was torn and it did not bleed. So both say, this is David HaMelech speaking. What is Allah speaking about? Both say, listen to this. Amar David at the Echad Shbaruch, Ribono Sha'olam. You know, you know that if somebody were to cut me, I would not bleed. I was saying, what does that mean? David Mel saying, if someone were to cut me, I would not bleed. It means, you know, I have been so badly humiliated throughout my life that literally, again, there's no blood left in my flesh. There's no blood in my flesh. He says, why? So again, just so you understand the backdrop of this. The backdrop to this episode, ultimately, again, is the episode of David and Bathsheba. So remember, again, David HaMelech is on his rooftop, and he sees a woman bathing on her rooftop, Bathsheba. He desires her, he sends for her, he spends the night with her. She is the wife of Uriah Achiti. David HaMelech then goes ahead and orchestrates for Uriah, who was one of his soldiers, to be sent out to the front and is killed. Bathsheba is pregnant from that night with David. That baby dies as a result of the mistake of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is given a series of three different punishments for this particular act. The loss of the baby, illness, and the rebellion of Avshalom. All of that comes from this act. Nebuchadnezzar Tosas goes into this whole Arichos, but you understand that on a technical level, David HaMelech did not commit an act of adultery. Why did David not commit an act of adultery? Because one of the interesting institutions that David HaMelech instituted for his army before this episode was that every single soldier would give his wife a conditional get upon going out to war. They did this in order to avoid any type of aguna actions. And essentially what the get would say, I'd be with it tonight with a condition, if I don't return by so-and-so date, this get is retroactively chal from the moment that I gave it to you. So therefore, should any soldier chas shalom go missing in action, the wife would not be in aguna. So on a technical level, after Uriah Achiti has died, granted he dies because David HaMelech positions him purposely on the front line so he would be killed, technically his death retroactively triggers the get, which means on a technical level, the night that David was with Bathsheba, she was already a divorced woman. So on a technical level, there was no act of adultery, but clearly David HaMelech is taken to task for behavior unbefitting of the king. And he's taken to task by the Navi for that, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. But said, for the rest of David HaMelech's life, for the rest of his life, he was humiliated by his peers and by others for this act. You know, in the Navi, we read it and we go on. And we don't see any more mention about it, but for the rest of David HaMelech's life, he is humiliated about it. Look what he says. David HaMelech says, when I walk into the base medrash, and they're studying the section of Negaim and Olos, we'll say the laws of Saras and the laws of Tumah. Omrim li, David, habo eshes ish misaso b'may. So I say, so listen to this. I walk into the base medrash, and they're learning the sugyas of Olim and Negaim, right? Olos and Negaim, the laws of ritual purity and impurity. Nothing to do with adultery. And what happens? I walk into the Beis Medrash, and what do they say? They stop everything. They say, oh, by the way, David, what's the halacha of a man who commits adultery? In other words, what are they doing? They're taunting him. They're taunting him. And what does David HaMelech say? V'ani omer lahem, you know what? Misaso b'chenek. Yeah, the laws of adultery are very severe. You get put to death by beis and by strangulation. V'yesh lo chelek le'olam haba. But you know what the amazing part is? Even if a man commits adultery and he's killed by Beis Din, he has a chelik in Olam Haba. Aval amalbin p'nei chaveiro b'rabim ein lo chelik in Olam Haba. The Torah says, I say to my taunters, you know what? maybe I am an adulterer, and maybe I do deserve to be put to death, but one thing is clear, which is if I am executed by a Beis Din, I know I'm going to Olam Haba. But you guys, you know, at the din of Malu B'nei Chaveiro B'Rabim, embarrassing someone, humiliating someone in public, that is deserving of death, and Ein Lo Chelik L'Olam Haba. V'Amar Mar Zutra Bar Tovya, Amar Rav, Amar Ilei, Amar Rav Zadda Bar Bizna. So we'll say, so again, just to understand the play on words, Rashi points out, Ubit Sal'i Samchu. Rashi points out, so Tzali we translated ultimately as limping. Rashi also points out, it's a little bit of a play on words, Sela also means what? Rib. Means a rib. Chava, right? Chava is created from the rib of Adam. So ultimately, again, it's a play on words, but Sali Samchu, they rejoice over my downfall with the Tzela, with the rib, with my wife, now his wife, with Batsheva. Va'amri leis, the Gemara goes weiter. Va'amri leis, Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chassid, Va'amri leis, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishram Rashbi, Noach lo li Adam Shiyapa Atzol Akiv Shanaish, V'yal Yalbim Panei Chavei B'Rabim. We'll say a wild Gemara. It is better for someone to go ahead and allow themselves to be cast into a fiery furnace, i.e. to be killed, rather than to go ahead and humiliate someone. So the Gemara says, where do we know this? From Minolan Mitamar. Also, we know this from the episode of Tamar. Dichsev Himut says, V'hishalcha al Chamel. So let's remember again, Tamar is pregnant by Yehuda. Of course, no one knows that she's pregnant by Yehuda because she had dressed up as a harlot. So what happens? She's being led out to be executed. And she is ready to go to her death without divulging the identity of the father. She sends back, remember Yehuda's cloak and his signet ring, and she says, the father of my child is the owner of these items. And she leaves it to Yehuda. If you want to own this, then you could own it. If you don't want to own it, I am not going to embarrass you in public. So in fact, again, the Gemara says, you see from here, better to be cast into a fiery furnace to die and to not embarrass someone, Rav. Now, both say, just so you should know, there's an interesting discussion here. So how do you understand a statement like this? Meaning, does this literally mean a person has to give their life rather than embarrass someone else? Well, we know there are three things you have to give your life for, right? Rather than worship idolatry, avodah zarah, shvichos damim, killing someone, and gilarayos, immorality. Those are the three things. Ma'al p'nei chaveiro is not one of them. So what's that? Tell you something amazing. So the Rabbeinu Yonah Maseches Bracha says that ma'al p'nei chaveiro is what? It's an offshoot of shvichos damim. And the Rabbeinu Yonah actually says, we'll say, this is wild, absolutely wild. We don't pass in this way, but the Rabbeinu Yonah actually says that he holds that Mal v'nei chaver, embarrassing someone, is an offshoot of Shvichos Damim. And in fact, the Gemara is saying that Habanas p'nei chaver, embarrassing someone, is Yehareg Va'al Yavar. That literally, again, it's one of the things you have to give your life rather than do is embarrassing someone publicly. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah's position. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's position. We do not accept that halacha lemaisa. Also, as I said to you, maybe it was yesterday, a few days ago, sometimes you learn a lot even from those shitos that are not accepted halacha lemaisa. Right? Sometimes the fact that the Rabbeinu Yonah could say such a thing like that. So, okay, it's not Yehareg Va'al Yavar. But the fact that someone says it is Yehareg Va'al Yavar tells you the incredible importance that we have to place on how we treat others. So the Gemara goes weiter. What does it mean when it says you should not wrong? One man should not wrong amiso. What does amiso mean? Am she'itcha b'torah b'mitzvos al toneir. Rabbi say it means that the prohibition of ona'as devarim, of afflicting someone with your words, doesn't apply just to anyone. Rather, it's am she'itcha b'torah b'mitzvos, to fellow Jews who are with you in Torah and mitzvos. Fellow Jews who are with you in Torah and mitzvos. So it's on a technical level, the technical law of ona'as devarim, ultimately, again, will only apply to those who identify with you in Torah Mitzvah. So we'll say, again, one should be careful how they apply this, because Lamaisa, again, there are many Jews today, contemporarily, who are not with us in Torah and Mitzvos, but Lav Davka, because they've made an informed decision not to be with us in Torah and Mitzvos. Sometimes, again, that's the way they raise, and that's the understanding they have. So again, Klal Gadol is always good to err on the side of caution, and be careful with Ona'as Devarim with any Jew. Whether they're Itcha B'Torah Mitzvos, not Itcha B'Torah Mitzvos, be careful how you treat all Jews. Amarav, the Olam Hei Adam Zar Ba'Ona'as Ishtar, Bo Say Sig, this is amazing. This is mamish amazing. And it's really, you're going to see, it's Hashkacha Pratis, that we're learning this Gemara for what to many is a day off, on a day when a person's going to have a lot of interaction with their mishpacha. So here, you're going to thank me for this. So says the Gemara, listen to this. Amarav, li'olam yehi adam zar ba'onas ishto. But say, a person should be very careful. Onas ishto means with mistreating his wife. A person should be very careful, literally, how he talks to his wife, and never to chas shalom say insensitive things. Why? Boss is amazing. Shemitoch shedim asa mitsuya, ono asa krova. Because since women cry more easily, therefore it is easier to offend them. We'll say, now here, by the way, you understand what the Gemara is teaching us. It's an incredible yisod. Sometimes a husband will say something, and his wife will be hurt. And what will the husband say? What will the husband say? Right, what's the number one thing not to say that too often we say?
What's the big deal?
Yeah, no, never say that. Never say that. No, that, right? You're being too sensitive. Right? You're being too sensitive. He'll say, it is quite possible that sometimes a wife is being too sensitive. And you know what Chazal say? Deal with it. Deal with it. So if your wife is sensitive, okay. So we'll say, here's the incredible yisod. You see, sometimes we come at this in an arrogant way and we say, you're being too sensitive. You need to lessen your sensitivity. To which Chazal is saying, no, the job of the husband is to deepen his sensitivity. The obligation of the wife is not to develop a thicker skin. The obligation is on the husband to be more sensitive to his wife's sensitivities. It's an incredible yisod. And says the Gemara, you know that a woman will cry more easily. And therefore, man, be careful what you say, how you say it, and when you say it. The onus of Osai is on us. The responsibility is on us. The responsibility is to make sure that we cater to the sensitivities of our wives. Incredible yisod. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Miyom shenech Rabbi Samikdash Nanol Shari Tila. Rabbi Lazar says, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the gates of Tefillah are closed, Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Gam ki ezach vishaveya, sasam tefillah si. Literally the Pasuk says, even though I cry out and I supplicate, sasam tefillah si means my tefillah has been uninterrupted. Va'af api shashare tefillah ninalu, and Rabbi says, even though the gates of Tefillah have been closed, shari dima'os lo ninalu, the gates of tears have not been closed. It was a very moving Gemara. Shnei Amar, Shama Tfilah Si Hashem V'Shava Si Azina El Tima Si Al Techerash. Do not be silent unto my tears. So what I said, the Yisod ultimately being, the Ribbono Shel Olam has a special sensitivity towards tears. So because a man knows that ultimately, again, his wife is going to go ahead and is more prone to crying, a man has to be careful with how he talks and how he treats his wife. Amarav, kol holech ba'atas ishto. This is another interesting Gemara. Whoever follows the advice of his wife, nofel b'gehenom. Right? So, don't leave yet. Let me just, right? So, whoever follows the advice of his wife, ultimately, the Lashon over here falls in Gehenna is an interesting Lashon as well, which literally means, again, it's not a good idea. Shene Emar, Verak lo haya ke'achav. So, we'll say, interestingly enough, where does the Gemara get this from? So, we'll say, so we know, again, one of the evil kings of Malchus, he's always a man by the name of Achav, but it's clear that the Navi attributes much of his downfall to his wife, Izebel. We see this even because Achav himself, when he's separate from his wife, has these moments of clarity where it looks like he's capable of doing tshuva, but then every single time his wife exerts her negative influence over him, and he's pulled back into a web of negativity. So therefore, Rav says, any man who follows the advice of his wife, no fel begehenem. Armali rapapala abaye, 1 second. But is that true? But it is actually a very beautiful gemara. V'ha amri inish. But yet people say, isascha gutza gachin v'tilchosha. Well, I say this is a beautiful, beautiful yisod. What does it mean? Literally, if your wife is short, bend down to speak with her. What does it mean if your wife is short, bend down to speak with her? So we'll say, so first of all, it fits into what we were saying before, that it is a husband's obligation to mold himself to his wife, not a wife's obligation to mold herself to her husband. An incredible, incredible yisod. We'll say this, I'll just say this because we're amongst friends and whatever, the thousands of people listen to the download, but whatever it is. But anyway, it's good. Also, you understand, 85% of the responsibility for Shalom Bayis is on a husband's shoulders. 85%. It might even be closer to 90. The lion's share of responsibility for what happens in your home, what happens in your marriage, is a man's responsibility. It is my obligation to adapt to my wife. It is my obligation to be sensitive to my wife's sensitivities. It is my obligation to know what is going to make her happy, what is going to make upset, and even though sometimes it might be even a shtickel unreasonable, or maybe a shtickel unfair, that doesn't make a difference. The responsibility for Shalom Bayis rests primarily on the shoulders of the husband. And that's what Chazal is saying. If your wife is short, you bend down to her, right? It's not the pshat that she should get a step stool and come up to you. If she's short, you bend down and whisper to her. Now, the context in which they're using it over here is bend down to her and whisper, Chemia, don't, did I say something upsetting? Right? So what happens? So again, the issue over here is what I'm sorry, I ask you, Mechila. So the idea of what I'll say over here is, in this context, what they're using it for is that consult with your wife. So they're meaning, again, they see a contradiction. You just said before, whoever takes advice from his wife goes to Gehenim, but yet here Chazal is saying, take advice from your wife. To which the Gemara says, Lokasha, Habamili da Alma, Habamili da Besa. It depends. Perhaps a worldly matters, so we'll say, the way that Ben Yoyada understands this Gemara is the following. In worldly matters, a man need not consult his wife. In other words, in worldly matters, I don't have to consult my wife. It might be a good idea to consult, but I don't have to. In matters of the home, I absolutely have to consult my wife. Lishnach, you know, another possibility is Habamili Dishmaya. It could be that, again, in spiritual matters, Habamili Da'amo, it could be in spiritual matters, I don't have to consult my wife. But Amili Da'amo, in general matters, I should consult my wife. So we'll say, the way the bottom line Gemara is, so two different versions. We'll say, so the Ben Yahuyad is telling us, he points out, he says, it could be that it's a good idea to always consult one's wife. But there are certain areas where one must consult one's wife. See, either according to the first approach in matters of the home, or in second approach in general matters. And there might be certain matters where I don't have to consult my wife. Either according to the first approach in worldly matters, or in second approach in spiritual matters. But either way, it says the Ben Yehoyada, based on this Gemara, is that if a man perceives that his wife definitely has some level of wisdom, there are some areas where I have to consult my wife, and some areas where it might just be a good idea to consult my wife. Amrav Chista, Kol Hashar Ninalim Chutz Mishari Ona'ah. But say all of the gates of Shemayim are closed except for the gates of Ona'ah. The gates on Rabbah saying the gates where I wrong someone. Shnei Amar, Hine Hashem Nitzav Al Chomas Anach O Biyado Anach. But it's actually quoted this pasuk in Maseches Ksuvos. So literally it says Rabbah Shalom is sitting on the wall. Anach Rabbah saying means a plumb line. Right, the plumb line, meaning that line that ultimately ensures that something is directly straight. Ubiyado anach. Amar Rabbi Elazar, I call nifra bidei shaliach, chutz me omna. But say, furthermore, God exacts punishment for everything through a shaliach, through an intermediary, except for omna, except for when we wrong one another. In that context, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes in and exacts punishment himself. Shina emar, ubiyado anach. The emotion holds the plumb line. So the plumb line represents, again, midas hadin, strict justice. Amar Rabbi Abba, gimel eina pargod nin al bifnehem. But say there are three things, literally translated, for which the curtain does not close in front of them. Rashi says over here, pargod is mechitza shebein shechina l'tzva marom. That's the curtain between the Ribono Shel Olam, ultimately, again, and the celestial sphere, enon hino, or the celestial host, enon hino. Rashi says lahaf sidra ayasa min amakom, riyasa min amakom, ela tamid ra osam achiyifra. So we'll say there are three infractions for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take his almost sight off these individuals until he goes ahead and exacts punishment. One of these three, onah, if someone verbally wrongs another, gezel, theft, and avodah zarah, idolatry. So what's about onah? It says he holds the plumb line, meaning for Kadosh Baruch Hu exacts punishment for onah. Gezel, theft, dichsiv, chamas v'shod yishma ba apanai tamid, avodah zarah dichsiv, ha'am hamachisim osim apanai tamid. Fine, so what's about, these are three sins for which Kadosh Baruch Hu does not take his sights off the individual until punishment is exacted. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Li'olam yehe adam zahir b'tivah b'sabay. So what's an incredible yisod. A person should always make sure to have wheat in his house. Why? She'ein mariva mitzuyah b'soch beiso el shal adam ela al iskei tivua. Because I will say most times that couples fight, they fight over tivua. I will say, what is this saying? Incredible yisod, money. So an incredible cause of friction within a home, an incredible cause of shalom, of a lack of shalom bayis, is parnasa. To which, again, so we'll say, see what's happening over here? Again, like I told you before, where Chazal are placing the lion's share of responsibility for shalom bayis upon the shoulders of the man. And they're saying, you need to make parnasa, because understand, if you don't make parnasa, it is going to spill, if there's a problem with parnasa, it's going to spill over into the shalom bayis of your home. Shnei Mar, hasam gvulech shalom chilev chitim yasbeich, omrapa, behind the darmi inshi, this is what people say, kimashalim sari mikada, nokish va'asi tigra besa. People often say, when there's no wheat in the basket, the basket will make noise, and the sounds of quarrel will come from the home. As we'll say, what does that mean? Essentially, when the basket of the grain is empty. So, you know, if you put something in an empty receptacle, it makes noise. From the moment that you hear the noise of the emptiness of the receptacle, just know that what? The sounds of discord are sure to follow. Incredible Yisrael. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. The olam adam mizar b'tuah b'soch beiso. But say a person should always make sure to have food in his home. Shalom mikro Yisrael dalim ela al iskei tivuah. Because Klal Yisrael were only called destitute because of a lack of food in the, because of a lack of wheat. Shene emar. V'hayayim zari Yisrael uksiv. V'ayachanu aleim uksiv. V'ayidah Yisrael ma'ol mipnei midyan. So we'll say, the Gemara is just saying a Yisod, that ultimately, even if a person doesn't have money, a person should try to whatever degree to always have some food in their house. Because the only time a person is called dal, impoverished, is mamish when there is no food. We'll say again, we're back to the covet of one's wife. This is incredible. Person should always be careful with the covet, with the honor of his wife, with the honor of his wife. Why? She'ein bracha metzui besoch pesel shel adam ela b'shvil ishto. This is incredible. Because all of the bracha you have in your home is only because of your wife. She'ne emar uli avram hitiv ba'avura. Because the Pasuk says that Avram benefited because of Sarah. Now, obviously, this is talking about a Mitzrayim, but the Gemara is understanding as a Yisod. Avram Avinu's bounty in life came from his wife. And this is what Rav say to the people of Mechuzah. Okiru l'neshaychu, take good care of your wives, ki heichi ditisaru, in order that you will become wealthy. So whether he meant physical wealth or emotional wealth, right? Whatever it is, the idea is this incredible. Yisod Bosei tells you all of these Gemaras are to sensitize us to literally how we are supposed to treat our wife. You know, Bosei, no person is perfect, no spouse is perfect, but again, it can't say enough. The responsibility that a husband has to put his wife on a pedestal. So just, again, it's not a Shalom Bayis class, but if it was, what I would tell you is the following. The most important ikar in Shalom Bayis is that a man puts his wife on a pedestal. Is that a man makes his wife feel like she is the center of the universe. It really, at the end of the day, doesn't matter what you buy on an anniversary or birthday. Don't forget those dates and make sure to get something on those dates. But what's so much more important is the day-to-day. Does a wife feel like she is the center of her husband's universe? Does she feel that he would drop anything and everything if she needed something? Does she know that she could count on him no matter what? Does she know that she's the most important fixture in his life? If a wife knows that, we'll say that is 85% of Shalom Bayis, that feeling that I'm the center. And that's what Bichelbo is saying. Person has to understand all bracha in one's life, all bracha in one's home comes from his wife. The Gemara goes weiter. Tanan Hasam, Chato Chulius. Now we're going to come. This, I'm telling you, it's hard to believe that all of this is on one blot of Gemara. It's like we literally won, you know, the Babylonian Talmud lottery today. Incredible. So says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. Also listen to this, Maisa. Chato Chulius v'nasan b'chol, bein Chulia l'chulia. Rabbi Lozzi mitar v'chacham mitamit. So listen to this. Oh, we're going to get to the famous Maisa. The Gemara begins with a halachic shayla. If you have an oven that was made out of, if you could imagine, earthenware rings, and those earthenware rings were attached ultimately by sand, by concrete made from sand. So Bosa, without getting into all the technicalities now, the shayla is, does this have the status of an earthenware item or not? So that's the difference. The difference is, under normal circumstances, a classic earthenware item, you put the earthenware item in the oven, and you harden it by putting it in the oven. In this case, you're taking the earthenware rings, you're attaching them with sand, hardening them in hardened sand, so the without putting it back into the oven. So the shayla is, does this have a status of an earthenware vessel or not? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, over chatcho chulios, tanra asui chulios mitzarfa bekifshan kederech klei cheres, v'achar kach tzivach chulios v'nasan chol bin chulia l'chulia. The difference in this oven as opposed to a classic earthenware oven is that this was not put back in the oven to harden it for its final completion. So the shayla is, does this have a status of an earthenware vessel or not? So Rabbi Lazar Mitar, Rabbi Lazar says, no, this is not called the klicheres. This is not called an earthenware vessel. And the Chachamim say, yes, it is. So Amud Bezer Bosai, Bezehu Tanur Shalach Noi. Oh, Bosai says the Gemara, this ultimately is the famous episode of Tanur Shalach Noi. My Achnoi, Rabbi Bosai, what does Achnoi mean?
What does achnoi mean? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel shekifu dvaran ka'achnozu v'timuhu. So we'll say again, because achnoi we'll say literally means a serpent, a large snake. What happens? That the arguments became coiled around this kli, just like a serpent coils itself around an object. So they encircled this oven with arguments, and they v'timu. And the, remember again, we'll say, so Rabbi Loza says that it's tahar, it's not receptive to tumah. Or it can be made tahar, and the Chum say no, it has the din of a kli cheres. So the Gemara is listening to this. Tana ba'osayom, hey, Shiv Rabbi Elazar kol tshuva sheba olam, v'lo kibla mena. So we'll say this is the famous machlokis Tanner shalachnoi. So we'll say, so what happens on that day? Rabbi Eliezer is going ahead. And, by the way, this is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Just so you understand. Remember again, you know who is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? He's one of the five primary disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So just so you understand, like, this man is one of the Gedoli Hador. So what happens? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is advancing all of the different arguments to say that this should be tahar. But they did not receive it from him. Amar lahem, Can you just text Mel and just tell him I'm going to be a few minutes late coming in. Thank you. So the Gemara says the following. Amar lahem, im halacha kimosi, charuv ze yochiach. So we'll say, so what happens? So Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus says, if the halacha is like me, the carob tree should prove my point. We'll say, remember this maisa, right? Remember this maisa. So the Gemara says, charuv ze yochiach. So ne'akar charuv mimkomo, mea ama. Can you imagine this scene? So the carob tree uproots itself in what? And walks 100 amas. Others say it was 400 amas. They both say, I don't know about you. If you see a walking carob, whether it's 100 amas, 400 amas, so it doesn't make any difference. The point is, the carob got up and walked. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar says, this is right that I'm right. Amrulo, Ein Mavin Rayim and Acharav. They said, Shkoya, incredible. We don't bring halachic proofs from walking carob trees. And he says, if the halacha is like me, let the stream of water prove it. What happened? So we'll say, what happened? The stream reversed course. And they said to him, Shkoyach, very impressive, we don't bring halachic proofs from streams of water. So they said, if the halacha is like me, the walls of the Beis Medrash should prove my point. So hitu kostei Beis HaMedrash lipo. Both say, so the walls of the Beis HaMedrash were about to fall upon everyone. Gar ben Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua began to yell at the walls. He says, Amar lohem, in tamidye chachamim minatzchim zed zed bahalocha atem ativchem. Rabbi Yeshua says, this is not your business, walls of the Beis HaMedrash. If tamidye chacham are arguing Torah, what does this have to do with you? Lo naflu mipnei kvodosh Rabbi Yeshua, but lo zak mipnei kvodosh Rabbi Yeshua. Supposed to listen to this. So the walls would not fall because of the covenant of Rabbi Yeshua, but they also did not straighten back up out of covenant Rabbi Elazar and Hyrcanus. V'adayin matin v'omdin. And I will say, to this very day, the Gemara says, you could see the walls of the Beis Medrash sit at a slant. Chazar v'amr lahem, im halacha kimosi min hashan yochichu. So Rabbi Eliezer finally says, if the halacha is like me, let the Ribono shel Olam voice his opinion. Yata Sabaskal va'amra. We'll say, listen to this. Abaskal came out and said, Ma lochem eitzel Rabbi Eliezer. Why are you starting up with Rabbi Eliezer? Shalocha kimoso b'chol makum. We'll say, can you imagine Abaskal like this? Like, the Abaskal comes out and says, why are you starting up with Rabbi Eliezer? The halacha always follows Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Amad Rabbi Yeshua v'ragla va'amar. Rabbi Yeshua, can you imagine? Rabbi Yeshua stands up on his feet and he says, thank you, Ribono Shel Olam. Your opinion is noted. Va'amar lo b'shamayim hi. But you gave us the Torah. Right? The decisions about halacha are no longer made in the celestial sphere. They're no longer made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My lo b'shamayim, what does it mean that the Torah is not in the heavens? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shekvar nitn the Torah mehar Sinai. Ein onu mashgichin bebaskol. Shekvar kasabte b'har Sinai acharei rabim lahatos. So Yeshua says, what does this mean? Says the Gemara, what it means is, Ribono Shel Olam, you gave us the Torah. And you gave us the mechanisms for deciding halacha. And the way we decide halacha, Rabosai, is how? Acharei Rabim Lahatos. We follow the majority of the Sanhedrin. The majority of the Sanhedrin held that this oven ultimately is tar. Rabbi Eliezer, we appreciate your opinion. We understand your opinion. You are in the minority. Stand down. Stand down. The halacha doesn't follow you. Ribono Shel Olam, we appreciate that you side. That you side with Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, but you know what? The Ribono Shel Olam's vote in the decision of halacha counts as, not even as one, counts as zero. It does not come into the conversation. So says the Rabbi, just as a sidebar, Ashkechei Rabbi Nassan Leliyo, Amalei my Avdech L'Shparach Hu Bahi Shaita. So Rabbi Nassan once was speaking with Eliyahu HaNavi. And it's Eliyahu, by the way, what was the Ribbono Shel Olam saying? In Shemayim, can you imagine this? You're the Ribbono Shel Olam. You just voiced your opinion on the matter of halacha. And you were told by the Sanhedrin of saying, right? Thank you. Right? Thank you. Opinion noted. We'll take it under consideration. We appreciate your participation. Have a nice day. Right? So, is he asked, Eliyahu, tell me, what's the Echolich Baruch? What was he thinking in that moment? Amar Lekachayach. The Ribbono Shel Olam was smiling. Va'amar, Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, literally, my children have overcome. In other words, Ribbono Shel Olam was shepping nachas. Because you know what? What does Ribbono Shel Olam want us to do more than anything? He wants us to own our spirituality. He wants us to own our Torah. He says, you know what? They're right. They're right. My children have surpassed me. My children have literally overcome or conquered me. My children are correct. It's their Torah. It's their halacha. It's their decision. And so, okay, I voiced my opinion, but I don't really have a vote. The vote ultimately is theirs. Incredible. So I say, so what happens? Now, you have to understand just the mechanics of what's unfolding over here. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus will not back down. We'll say he's wrong. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, maybe in the purest form of halacha, may be right, but he's wrong. Because the halacha is decided by the majority. The majority of his rabbinic peers ruled against him, said, Tano Shalach Noi ultimately is Tameh. He should have yielded. He should have yielded. He refuses to yield, and that was wrong. That was wrong. I will say, we have concepts like this. Of Azaki Nashmayev, sometimes when you have like a rogue sage. A rogue sage is someone who refuses to defer to the majority. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is wrong. He's wrong. Because the halacha is decided by the majority, yet he doesn't back down. So what do they do? Osa hayom, hevi kol taro shetir Rabbi Eliezer v'sarfum. Ba'ish. We'll say that day, so Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus refuses to back down. That day, they took all of the items that he had declared ritually pure. Now, according to Rashi, it's possible that what it means is, all the items that had come into an oven like this that he declared as ritually pure, they brought it and they burned it. V'nimu alav uberchuhu. And they got together and b'churim. B'churim is like to give him mishaberach. What does that mean, mishaberach? They excommunicated him. Right? They put him in chayrim. V'omru, mi yelech v'yodiu. So let's listen to this. Now the shayla was, who is going to tell Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus that he's been put in chayrim? Because what's he understand? Nobody wants to tell him why, because obviously this is a man of great spiritual prowess. How do we know that? He's got carrots to walk, right? Rivers reversing stream, walls falling down, bas calls coming out from Shamayim. So who exactly?
Is he the same Rebbe Lozer that they retreated to a cave and looked at things? And
No. That's the son of Rabbi Shlomo Bar Yochai. That's Rebbe Lozer Bar Ashbi. This is Rebbe Lozer in Hyrcanus. So who's going to tell him that he's in Chayrim? Amr Rabbi Akiva ani elech. Rabbi Akiva says, I will go. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll go. Shema yelech adam sheino hagun viodio v'nimtza machriv es kol ha'olam kulo. We'll say what they are literally concerned is that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is obviously going to suffer great anguish as a result ultimately of this news, and they are concerned that his pain literally could destroy the world. So somebody has to go ahead and tell him what's going on without going ahead and allowing his pain to kind of create like a tidal wave of destruction among the world. So Rabbi Kiva says, I'll do it. Mas Rabbi Kiva, what did Rabbi Kiva do? Lova shchor v'nesate shchor. Rabbi Kiva dressed in black. He wrapped himself in a black cloak. V'yashav lefanda berichok arba amos. So both saying, Rabbi Kiva sat in black. Why? As a sign of mourning. He distanced himself from Dalai Lama because the halacha is, you're not supposed to come into Dalet Ames of someone who is in Chayrim. Amar lo Rabbi Lazar Akiva, Mahayom Yomayim. So Rabbi Lazar says, Rabbi Akiva, tell me, what's going on over here? Why are you dressed in black? And why are you not coming close to me? Amar lo Rabbi, Kimaduma li shechavirim bedil nimcha. So Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi, it appears to me that your friends have separated from you. So it's an incredible, incredible thing. Maybe it appears to me that your friends have separated from you. So what happened? Afu kara begadav. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus ripped his clothing. V'chalatz min ha'alav. He took off his shoes. It was like he's sitting shiva. V'nishmat v'yashav agabe karka. And he went ahead and he sat on the ground. Zolgu inov demos. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, his eyes filled with tears. Filled with tears because, again, he realized. I will say, now understand, we'll get into it now, but what happens at the end. Well, let's see. So his eyes filled with tears. Laka olam shlish pezesim shlish pechitim shlish besorim. Bosa, as a result of his pain, just his eyes welling up with tears, a third of the world's olive, wheat, and barley crops were wiped out. Bosa, just so you understand, this is the pain of a tzaddik. This is why we're so careful with how we treat Talmidei Chachamim, because mistreatment of Talmidei Chachamim literally has negative repercussions on the world. Some say even literally the dough that a woman was holding in her hand went sour. So the Gemara says, Tana, Ach Godol Haya Be'osayom, actually they changed it to Ach Godol. There was great wrath in the world that day. Shebechomakum Shenasan Bo'inav Rebbe Lazar Nisraf. Any place Rebbe Lazar looked was literally destroyed. Now we're saying, now the Marashah discusses whether this is literal or not. What it's talking about over here is that when the tzaddik is in pain, the world suffers as well. We'll say, listen to this. Va'af Rebbe Gamliel. Now remember, Rebbe Gamliel is the Nasi. Right? Rebbe Gamliel is the head of the Sanhedrin. So Rebbe Gamliel, that day that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus hears about the Chirim, where's Rebbe Gamliel? After Rebbe Gamliel, how Yababa Sino? Rebbe Gamliel is on a boat. Amad alav nakshal letavo. So we'll say, as he's on a boat, there is a wave that is about to come and capsize the boat. Amar kimedumali she'ein ze ela bishol b'lazer ben Hyrcanus. So Rebbe Gamliel sees, we'll say, almost like a Yonah-like episode unfolding over here. The boat's going to be capsized, and he realized that this was a result of the pain that his chirim caused Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Amad alav amar. Rebbe Gamliel gets up on the deck of the boat and he says, "Bama shel olam galui v'adua lefanecha shelo lichvodi asisi v'lo lichvod beis abba asisi el lichvodcha. Yibo shalom, you think I did this for my covet? You think I did this for my honor? You know why we excommunicated Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus? Lichvodcha, for your covet. Why, Rebbe Elazar? Shelo yarbu machlokes v'yisrael." Bosa, you have to understand, this is an incredible yisod. You know, in Judaism, the beautiful part is we have room for multiple opinions. But at the end of the day, halacha decides what is right. Because I will say, at the end of the day, if we allow for each kol yashabin of yasser, everyone to do whatever they want, or I found a rabbi that says this, or you could find a rabbi who says everything. And if you can't find a rabbi who says it, you can certainly Google it. And you'll find some shmendrik with a blog who says it, right? You can always find someone who says something. But at the end of the day, we all have to learn to bend our knee before halacha. Because if we don't all subscribe to the same Shulchan Aruch, then chas v'shalom, there won't be one Am Yisrael. There'll be this Am Yisrael. There'll be that Am Yisrael. There'll be that Am Yisrael. Rebbe Gamliel says, "Ribono Shel Olam, you think I did this for me? You think I want to excommunicate a friend? You think I want to cause sar to Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus? But I as the Nasi, am obligated to look out for the klal. And the klal can't endure machlokes. So if Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus is not going to yield to the majority, then I have to do what I have to do." What happened? Nachaya Mizavo. The sea calmed down. The sea calmed down. So we'll say, listen to this. Now the story gets even more wild. Just a few more minutes, I will say. Amos Shalom. The Visud Rabbi Lazar Achsed Rabbi Gamliel. So get ready for this. This is wild. So Rabbi Lazar and Hyrcanus' wife, so we're coming back to the wives, was named, her name was Ima Shalom. That was a beautiful name. Ima Shalom. Listen, now just to make it a little bit more interesting. So this is Rabbi Lazar and Hyrcanus' wife, who also happened to be the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, so you understand, Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin. He's the one who's responsible for the excommunication, ultimately, of his brother-in-law, of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So what happens? So now, Ema Shalom realizes the power of her husband. So what does she do? So, Me'ahu ma'isav e'elach lo hava shavkele Rabbi Lazar le'mepa alape. Well, so get ready for this. From the day that he was excommunicated, Ema Shalom, well, remember, as part of being excommunicated, Yosa can't come to shul, Yosa can't participate in the minyan. So therefore, what's happening? So Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is davening at home. From the day that he was excommunicated, Amos Shalom made sure that he would never say tachlon. He would never do nefilas apayim. And I will say, you know, nefilas apayim, first of all, the Marsha points out, you see from here the power of tachnun. So nefilas apayim is a supplicatory prayer that essentially says, "Emotional, I'm in pain, help heal my pain." She was nervous that if her husband, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, were to say tachnun, the tefillah would be so intense that what happened, the pain would cause a loss to the life of her brother, Rabbi Gamliel, who was responsible for the chayrim. So every single day she's watching him, her husband daven, and when she gets to tachnun, she says, no tachanun for you. Right? See, we normally say, no tachanun. You know, yippee, right? Now, especially if it's like a Monday or Thursday, it's like, mamish. Right? So again, so she's standing over him, no tachanun. So get ready for this. So we'll say there was one day where Ema Shalom got mixed up. She thought it was Rosh Chodesh, and therefore there was no Tachanun. Or Ikeda Amri Asa Ani V'Kaya Bava. Or someone says that while he was davening, an ani knocked on the door, and Ema Shalom went to go give him some bread. What happened? The point is, she wasn't there when it was tachanun time. Ashkechei dinafa al ape. She comes back into the room, and she sees that what? He's laying tachanun. So Amrile, kum! Get up! Stop saying tachanun! Katilas la'achi! You're gonna kill my brother, Rabbi Gamliel! We'll say, adahachi nafak shipura mi beis Rabbi Gamliel v'shachiv. Sure enough, in that moment, the word came out, right? News came out from the house of Rabbi Gamliel that he had passed away. But see, just to understand the power of tefillah, so many things. It's the power of tefillah, the power of pain. When you've wronged another, even if it's been justifiably, even if it's justifiable, so what happens? So Rabbi Elazar says, how did you know that my tachanun would chas v'shalom result in the death of Rabbi Gamliel? This is the tradition we have from our father. So we'll say, you understand, she is a sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi. The Nasi was always a descendant of David HaMelech. David HaMelech. So we have a tradition from our father's home. What's your Rabbi, and this goes back to Amud Aleph, because David HaMelech calls out, what was the Kol HaSharim Ninalim? Chutz Mishare Ona. And she said, the tradition I have from my father's home is that all the gates, since the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, all the gates are closed, except for the gates of Onah, for the gates ultimately again of those who are wrong. Dichsivi shlosha la. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Chutzi charina. Fine. Ten rabbanon. Supposedly now the Gemara goes out. Ten rabbanon. Hamaanas. Let's just finish up to the Mishnah. Almost done. Hamaanas hager over b'shlosha lavin. If you go ahead and you verbally wrong a convert, you violate three prohibitions. Va'lochtzo over b'shtayin. We'll say now, lochtzo literally means that you press him. Rashi says dochko. We're going to see what this usually means is in the context of finances. Either you lent him money and you pressure him to go ahead and pay you back, or he has some debt. So if you push him to pay back, you violate two lavin. So the Gemara says, ma'ishna ma'ana d'ksivi shlosha lavin. So we'll say again, when it comes to verbally afflicting the ger, what are the three prohibitions? Ger lo sona, v'chi yogar itcha ger ba'atzchem lo sonu oso, and lo sonu ishes amiso, v'ger b'chval amiso. So, loch so not mishlo shabos. I don't understand. By going ahead and pressing him, we also have three prohibitions. Ksivi, lo salachasenu, v'ger lo silchats, v'lo siya lo kinoshe, v'ger b'chvalhu. Rather, you're right. Whether you go ahead and verbally wrong a ger or you press him to pay back, that's either way you are in violation of three lavim. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Agadol Om Rivnei Mahez Yer Torah Belamid Vav Makomos. Rabbi Med Ma Makomos Beger. So listen to this. Why is it? And this is an amazing Gemara. Why is it that the Torah warns us in 36 different places, and some say in 46 different places, about how to treat the convert? Mipnei shesuro ra. Rabbos say, now shesuro ra means because his origins are bad. In other words, what does that mean, Rabbos say? The ger often has additional battles that those who are born Jewish do not have, which makes a lot of sense. Rabbos say, you know, one always has to stand in incredible awe of gerim, because what every single ger has to give up is unimaginable. Often they have to give up their family, and even if they're not going ahead, and even if they still have in Yerut Hashem, like a relationship with their biological parents, at the end of the day, familial relationships are different. Everything is different. So the Gemara says you have to understand the pekel in which the ger has to go through in life. You have to understand the challenges. And therefore, you have to be especially careful with how you talk to him or her. That's what Mishas Surah means, that they have all of this negative baggage to begin, all of this difficult baggage to begin with. Therefore, they have to be treated with kid gloves. But so what does it mean? That you shall not afflict the ger because you are strangers in Egypt. Rabbi Rabbos says an incredible yisod. A blemish that you have, don't point it out in your friend. Rabbos says, you should know in general that Bali Musar point out that whenever you're able, the Baal Shem Tov also points this out, that whenever you're able to see a negative trait in someone else, chances are that what? It's a negative trait you have in yourself. It's just often easier to be able to see the negative traits in others than it is to be able to see the negative traits in yourself. But here Chazal are saying, if you have a negative trait, don't be quick to point that out in someone else. So the Gemara says, "Mum shebecha tamal lechavercha." V'ainu da'amri inshi. But this is what people say: "Dizakif lezekifa bidyukase lo neimale lechavre zakav binse." That if both say, if you're talking to someone and someone in their family has been hanged, right? Hanged, right? Not hung, hanged.
hanged. Right? If someone's been hanged, you should never tell them, oh, why don't you hang up the fish? In other words, so that's an expression, we'll say. In other words, that if somebody, if I know I'm talking to somebody and their family has been hanged, so I should be careful with my words. To even use the word hang, but to use it in the context of fish, might evoke a pain in them. Therefore, again, the Gemara is just saying over here that we know what it feels like to be strangers. We know what it feels like to be alienated. We know what it feels like to be out of place. And therefore, we have to be especially careful with how we treat the ger, how we treat those who enter into our community. Also, which is an incredible yisod. You know, just as an aside, I'll end with this. You know, the Baal Shem Tov says, everyone is a ger in some way. Because everyone has something about themselves or about their lives that sets them apart by everyone else. And I know that there are times in life where I feel isolated. There are times in life where I feel, or maybe it's because of a family issue or a personal issue. And so the same way that I rely on people being sensitive to me, to recognize that every person feels out of place or feels alienated in one way or another. So the ger, the sensitivity to the ger, because he's most obvious as being someone who really needs additional love. But really from the ger we learn the need to always love each other, the need to always take care of one another, we need to always be sensitive. But at least, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I look out for the ger, I look out for those who join the fold, I need you to do the same. All right, we'll stop over here. Shabbat.
To this year, to RabbiSilber.com, and then go to Doc.
Yep.
Okay.